A husband who was not the most outgoing guy relents to his wife's months of nagging to take her out dancing. During the evening, one guy on the dance floor is giving a large break dancing, moonwalking, back flips. He's doing the works. Seeing this performance, the wife turns to her husband and says, "See that guy? 25 years ago, he proposed to me, and I turned him down." The husband replies, "Looks like he's still celebrating." God is good. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we started on it last week. Now, we're going to deal more with the past today, okay? But let me just give a few slides just to bring it up. Ready? The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? And this is a powerful reminder for everyone that every day is a gift from God. And every day, God puts His initials on it. Every opportunity every moment is an opportunity to rejoice in His goodness, to recognize His hands in our lives, in the light, in the dark, it don't matter. Rest assured that God is with us. He is with us. Y'all say He's with us. Amen. We are working all things together for our good. It don't always feel that way, but God is working all things together for our good. Amen. So now, He is recognizing. People see God every day. They just don't recognize Him. Amen? How many know today that God has already been with you? He's already seen you. When you woke up this morning, He kissed you on the forehead. But sometimes our head is so thick we can't feel it. Amen? If you happen to see two little bruises up here coming up here, it's not horns coming out. I was trying to loosen a spigot last night and hit my head on a brick. And I was trying to work on my wife's truck and hit my head on her hood. So I told her, I look like I got two little horns coming out here. But it's not. Amen. Y'all can dress back. My halo is still intact. All right. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. So, get ready. Here we go. How you doing there, buddy? This is a miracle right here. Look at our miracle. Woo! I'm sorry, buddy. Didn't mean to scare you. There's our miracle right there. He was not supposed to walk, and look at him walking. That's right. He's a preacher. That's right. So, so recognize that the Lord is in every experience, and the hustle and the bustle of our everyday lives is easy to lose sight of God's presence. You watch the news for 5 minutes, you wonder, where's God at? You ride down the highway and wonder, where is God? Amen. So we get caught up in our routines. We get caught up in our worries. We get caught up in our ambitions. And we forget that God is right there beside us. There was a young lady in my church. We were on the way to a roller skating thing with all the church one Thursday night. And she wrecked her car on the way. And she looked at me. And I was trying to offer some good wholesome advice. She said, "Pastor, I'm so glad God was with me in that wreck." And I turned around, looked at her and said, "You keep driving like that, he's going to take his chances walking." That's good. God is with me. God is in me. God is with me. And God is for me. Again, here it goes. And I'm getting ready to turn in for this morning's message, heavy duty. Every moment, every experience, He's there when I wake up. He's there when I lay down. He's there in our joys. He's there in our sorrows. He's in our victories. He's in our defeats. Psalm 118 is actually the middle book of the Bible. Did you know that? It is the middle book. He getting there. How you doing, Walter? Thank you for looking at all my equipment to make sure it's right. Thank you, bro. Give Alder a hand. He's our miracle child. He's our miracle child. So now, get ready. Get ready. I'm getting ready. Y'all say, "Lay the plow down, Pastor. Lay the plow down." Somebody say that. I got to find my seat here. I'm going to sit down for a minute because I want to really get down into some deep stuff. Deep, deep stuff. I want you to listen carefully. Listen so carefully. Last week we talked about it. people ask you, and this all came from this whole idea came from a praise and worship practice a few weeks ago when we were practicing. DC said, "Dad, where you at?" And I said, "I'm right here at the base." He goes, "No, where are you at? You ain't here." And I was thinking about people sitting in the pew that I was going to have to minister to, and some counseling afterwards, and maybe going to working on somebody's stuff. And I had so many things in my mind that although I was there, I wasn't there. And this is where this came from. But at the same time, I want you to think about something. How many Sundays have you gone to church in body only? How many sermons have you showed up for and listened to, and on the way out the door can't tell me anything I said besides praise the Lord and amen? Amen? Because our minds are somewhere else. We're always thinking about yesterday, today, tomorrow. Something's going on. I challenge you today to be present as this sermon goes on. Be right here. Be listening. And don't say, "Well, that don't apply to me." I had a guy come up to me one day, and he was the main reason. Look, this guy was a tough dude. He was a bad, bad dude. I didn't preach the sermon to him, but you could tell it was for him. And he came up to me at the end of the service and he said, "Buddy, you'd have gotten them if they'd have been here." Ready? Here it goes. "In my confinement, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and he set me free." Reading this psalm, if you see, this is the day that the Lord has made it. How many was glad when we got to that part? Because actually, that psalm in the beginning was kind of, weren't it? Everybody was against him. He had to fight every time he turned around. Saul was after him. He had to take on Goliath of all kinds of ways. And Saul and even his own son Absalom, he had all these people, enemies in his path, and his son even tried to turn the kingdom against him. So here's this guy as he's being attacked by all sides, and he starts writing this psalm. It's also a messianic psalm because it describes some of the way that God was feeling, Jesus was feeling before he went to the cross. And so get ready. Here it is. Lying behind this psalm, or the praise in this psalm, there appears to be a great deal of pain. There's many people here today, including myself, over the years, behind us is a great deal of pain. Amen? We can try to hide it. We can try to push it down. We can try to stuff it down. And the more you try to stuff it down, the worse it gets. You need to learn how to deal with that pain. But a lot of us in here today, behind us, is a great deal of pain. Your number one question, number one thought in your mind is, what could have been? Amen? What could have been? If this hadn't happened, what could have been? If I hadn't said that, what could have been? If we hadn't done it this way, what could have been? So many people are so consumed with their past memories. They're haunting them. Look at these verses right here. For 10 through 13. "All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed me like bees, but they died as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I pushed them back, about to fall, but the Lord helped me." Look at this. This doesn't seem like one happy, happy, happy psalm. It actually seems like somebody that's in a lot of trouble and in a lot of pain. So let me turn down. I want to turn to that. Get your finger and put it in Psalm 18. I'm going to put mine right there too. Psalm 118. And here we go. We got to get it back here. Select the book. Old Testament. If you're trying to find Psalm, it's in the Old Testament. I promise you. Trust me. All right. Let's see. 118. There we go. I finally found it. There we go. So now, I want to talk to you a little bit. How many in here, because of things you've done in your past, you've experienced guilt? How many? All of us. That's good. That's good. Because guilt leads to a repentant heart. That means you're sorry for your actions. You feel guilty. Get ready for the hard one. How many in here, remember, guilt has to do with actions. But over the years, you never dealt with the guilt. And it's because you didn't deal with the guilt, you began to associate yourself with what you did. And now the guilt has turned to shame. Guilt has to do with actions. Shame has to do with attitudes. Guilt is what I've done. Shame is who I am. How many in here could say, Pastor, I let it go on and I let it go on and I let it go on. I didn't work on it. I pushed it down. I thought it would just go away. It didn't. And now I've got shame. And that's a terrible thing. Remember, guilt is actions. Shame is attitude. Guilt is built on what you have done. Shame is inside of you. And it's based on who you are. David had this going on. Some of you in here right now have that going on. It's heavy stuff. This is heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. And David had this stuff going on. That's why he wrote all this stuff and he said, but this is the day, right now, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Right now. If you're not careful, guilt and shame will tag team and it will drag you into your past and it will paralyze your present. And you cannot shake free from this vacuum. Every day, especially when there's a trigger, every day, guilt hits you because of something you've done. And because you don't deal with it, you wear the shame. And you're just haunted and haunted and haunted. So many can't break free from the guilt because they're held back so tightly by that shame. So David here is telling us how to get rid of that. Matter of fact, let's look at it. It said, so I called upon the Lord in my distress. This is anguish here. But in my distress, the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now remember, guilt will squeeze you. Shame will pull you like a vacuum. You ever take a vacuum and stick to a plastic bag and turn it on and watch what does that plastic bag? That's what shame does. And so you're wanting to live, you're wanting to do good, but you're so deflated that when God tries to use you, you don't feel worthy. You don't feel like you actually are worthy to receive anything God's got because the guilt is driving the shame and the shame is the vacuum pulling you back. So David said, in my distress, that word distress literally means tight place. It means like a python grabbing you and squeezing the life out of you. Guilt and shame is that python that squeezes you, takes your breath away. And he said, I called upon the Lord in my distress when the python had me squeezed. And you set me in a large place. You released the hold of that python. Wow. That's freedom. That's freedom, freedom, freedom. And I thank God for that freedom. And today, if you've got guilt and shame, you may have walked in with it, but you don't have to walk out with it. Amen? Nobody's going to look down on you. Nobody's looking down because everybody in this building has guilt. And everybody in this guilt building has the potential to have shame. And so that's why it's so important that we all know that it's important that we pull out of this thing. Now, there are seven things I found in here. But today, because it's going to take a long time, I've already pulled the plow down. And maybe I'll pull it back up. So, we're going to do this a little slow, all right? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Talking about joy, joy, joy. How can you have joy when you're full of guilt? How can you have joy when you're squeezed by shame? Oh, we try. We put on a good face. Maybelline got nothing on what we can do. God wants to release that hold on you today. He wants to crush that python that's squeezing the life out of you. So, we're ready. Here it is. And I thank my beautiful wife. She's my proofreader. If it weren't for her, y'all would look at and go, who wrote that? She's always looking at and goes, I think you might want to change that word. I think you might want to change that preposition. I think you want to change that pronoun. She's good. If it weren't for her, I may look stupid. Benny, you ain't got to laugh so hard. That man almost fell out of his chair. All right, here we go. In this psalm are seven things that we all need. In this psalm, these seven things we all need. We need them when we're being squeezed, when we're being under attack by our past actions. I promise you, none of us in here walked on water before we got saved. Amen? I promise you, none of us walked on water since we've been saved. There wasn't but one, he sank. So here we go. So, these seven things, we all need them, and when they're present, when these things I'm getting ready to tell you about are present and are in this psalm, it produces an overwhelming peace, it produces joy, it produces power to release the python of shame and the python of guilt, squeezing you. But not only does the python of guilt squeeze you, but when you feel like you're surrounded on all sides by all things in life still pulling you tight. And what it does is, no matter what the circumstances, this works. Amen? No matter what, you try this and you're going to see something that works really, really good. I don't see any flowers, but I tell you what, they're artificial too. I think they're artificial flowers. Are these artificial? My nose don't know the difference. All right, here we go. You ready? I love it. Can you see it? Whereas you know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Just yesterday, I was learning Lighthouse. The day after, I was teaching it to D.C. And the day he was teaching me. Matter of fact, how y'all like that tune for God in the Valley? That was awesome. He said, Daddy, we're going to do this a little bit different. I said, okay. And we did. We did. God on the Mountain with some eagles sounding to him. All right. First thing in this psalm is God's challenge. How many is ready to be challenged? Now, if you're not ready to be challenged, know this, you're already being challenged every day. You're challenged every day. Are you going to let the python keep grabbing you? Are you going to let shame and guilt keep grabbing you? Are you going to let the stuff around you keep grabbing you? Are you going to step up and accept what God's got? Amen? God wants us free. So this psalm presents us with a very powerful, powerful challenge. I want you to listen carefully. Because this not only can change our lives, it can improve our lives. And for some of us, listen carefully, it can even save our lives. So please, be in the moment. Not yesterday, tomorrow, what we're going to have for supper tonight, what we're going to have for breakfast tomorrow morning. You know, what if I go to work with that old nasty mouth boss again? No, right now. Let's make a stop. Stop it right now. Everybody just stop. And I want you to breathe in through your nose. Hold it for a minute. Breathe it out. And I want you to say this before we do it again. I am here. God is with me. And I'm safe. One more time. Breathe. Hold it. Blow it out through your mouth. I am here. God is with me. And I'm safe. Now, we're here now. Everybody's here? So here we go. Ready? Because this could save somebody's life today. I'm not kidding. It could save somebody's life today. Maybe not in here. Maybe somebody you know that you can go tell this to them too. But you got to listen to this, okay? So ready? Here we go. This challenge is to live in the present, to live in this moment. Now you get to talk to your neighbor. Ready? I want you to tell them something. It's impossible to live more than one day at a time. Tell somebody. Have you ever heard anybody tell you we're giving it 110%? That's impossible. All you can give is 100%. Have you ever seen anybody say that they work 25 hours a day? No. No, they work 24. We've all got the same amount. Every last one of us. It's what we do with it, and how we break it up and how we work it out as to what we can do. So get ready. That was number one, was accept God's challenge. Number two. I love it. Lamentations 3:22-23. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So now, ready? Number two, focus on his compassion. Guilt and shame, focus on his anger. I can't say that enough. Guilt and shame focuses on God's anger and God's retribution. And so you're always waiting for the next shoe to drop. You're always waiting for God to, we're like we're trying to climb the ladder, we're waiting for God to come and pull our fingers off so we fall off the ladder. Guilt and shame focuses on punishment. I'm telling you today with this psalm, if you want to get out of that hold, that stranglehold that you're in, focus on mercy. It says his mercies are new every morning. His mercies. Of course, right there it said compassion, but mercies. That word mercy means to withhold what I deserve. On the cross, there was mercy and there was grace. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is getting held back what you do deserve. On that cross, Jesus took our punishment, so he withheld our punishment, and he took it. But he opened up grace, and he gave to us what we didn't deserve. Now, I love this. This amazing psalm, this whole psalm, although it got kind of wild there, it started with mercy. 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 Somebody say mercy. Too many. Even some sitting here right now, you're focused on yesterday, your mistakes, your sins, your bad decisions. But God's mercy says, don't focus on my punishment. focus on my mercy. Focus on my ability to withhold what you deserve and give you what you don't, which is grace. It says His love, what it says in one version, it says His love never quits. Amen? Man's love, listen carefully, man's love, man's compassion, and man's mercies are limited. They're always limited. They're limited. Have you ever said, I love that guy, I love that gal, but I have had it up to here? How many's ever said that? God never says that. He never says it. We do. God don't. I'm glad He don't. Because God, what happens if it gets past there? What you going to do? Man's mercy and compassion have their limits. But God's love never quits. His love is so awesome in our life. We wish we could find a restart button, but there is not a restart button. But there is a reset button. And that reset button is mercy and grace. Amen? There's not a restart. My hair will never get dark again unless I go get something to help it. They asked one preacher one time, he had really jet black hair and he was like 90 years old and said, how come everybody else in your family's got white hair and you got black hair? And he said, well, I go to the store and I get just for men. And he said, is that, he said, well, why do you do that? He said, because faith without works. Faith without works. Is dead. All right. Look at God. Look up and say, God, thank you for the reset. Thank you for the reset. I don't have to feel guilt. I don't have to stand in shame. For through your mercies, we are not consumed, but your compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your great is your faithfulness. Isn't God awesome? All the time, God is awesome. So that's number two. We got one more and we're going to be through for today. We're going to finish them up next week. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Wow. Ready? Number three, stand in confidence. The Lord is with me. I may not, see, guilt and shame are focusing on punishment. Guilt and shame are punishing or focusing on wrath. And because they punish on or focus on punishment and wrath, then you don't feel like God's with you. If He's with you, He's there waiting to push you down or to take you to the woodshed. But when you realize great is His faithfulness and great is His mercy, and that He's taking care of you and He is keeping the slate clean if you ask Him, and you don't have to live in guilt and shame, guess what? Then you know that God is with you. All over the Bible, it says, God is with me. God is for me. And who can be against me? So here we go. The psalmist penned these words in this psalm. Look at this. When he was writing it, he understood the world was against him. He understood the devil was against him. He understood his own people were against him. The Goliaths, the Sauls, the Absalons. But he knew that God was for him. And God was greater than anything in the world. God was greater than anything the devil can throw at you. God is greater than anything and whoever it is. God is greater. Y'all say it. God is greater. God is greater. Come on. God is greater. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's awesome. When When the Lord is on our side, there's no obstacles that are too great for us to handle. Life piles up on us. Man, life piles up on us. That does not say bad things are not going to happen. That doesn't say that you're going to come into some rough spots. That doesn't mean you got to keep fighting that urge to go back to the guilt and go back to the shame. What it does mean is if you trust God, you don't have to live there. Amen? Some of us are allowing too much junk to take up rent space in our brain that doesn't need to. How many still holding grudges against people? You know what? Those people are renting space in your head. Amen? Ideas and things you did in the past is renting space in your head. If you could just flush that brain. Matter of fact, you know what I call it when I'm doing counseling? I know y'all are not going to like this. My mama would have a fit if she heard me say this. But I'm not going to give you this long psychological talk word. Somebody comes in, you know what I tell them? I sit there dealing with guilt and shame. I say, you need a good old brain vomit. And they go, can you please explain to me what a brain vomit is? I said, there's stuff in there making you sick. You're holding it in too long. You pushed it down too far. And you need to go ahead and let God just go ahead and get it all out. Get it out! Look at somebody and say, get it out! Get it out! You don't have to live in there anymore. Amen? You stand in confidence that God is for us. Praise God. God is awesome. DC, come on, walk up here and start getting ready to play something. Next week, we're going to go to the other four. So I have seven. But I'm going to do three today because I want you to think on it. I want you to chew on it, be able to chew about it. Chew on it. Ready? This week, this is kind of like we had last week, kind of, but I put in some changes to it. This week's challenges is to face these challenges you're learning. Accept them. Accept God's mercy. Accept His presence. I want you every morning, begin the morning with acknowledging the day as a gift and reflect on specific blessings that you got, your health, relationships, opportunities. But here it is. Ready? I want you to shift your focus to the challenges that we're finding in these Psalms. Challenge yourself to accept them and practice them. I guarantee you, right now, everybody close your eyes. Bow your heads, nobody looking around. I guarantee you there's been somebody in here today that Satan says, that may work for somebody else, but you've been too bad. You've gone too far. You took too many wrong turns. You missed too many opportunities. And all this stuff that the pastor is talking about doesn't work for you. Yes. That voice is telling you, yes, God has mercy, but not for you. You've gone too far. You've done too wrong. You've done too bad. You've got too much guilt. You've got too much shame. His mercy works for everybody else, but it don't work for you. That's what Satan's trying to tell you. That's a lie from hell. Another challenge is know that the Lord is with me. Instead of being chastised by your past, this week, be challenged by God's blessings. I'm going to say that again. This week, instead of being chastised by your past, be challenged by God's blessings. And right now, accept a holy reset. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and you're having a hard time, nobody looking around, you're having a hard time with guilt. Remember, guilt is an action, shame is an attitude. Guilt is something I've done, shame is something I am. If you're in here today and you're dealing with this, and you're really, really, really needing some help, and you need God to step up and help you step to Him while nobody's looking around, would you put that hand up? I really need help. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today. And you're definitely feeling a squeeze. And you're needing God to give you that relief. Maybe it's not guilt and shame. Maybe it's just the problems in life got you squeezed and you can hardly breathe. And you wonder when the next shoe's going to drop. You're really needing God to step in and step up. And I'm talking to you right now while nobody looking around. Would you put that hand up? I really, 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 really need Him to step up and help me because I feel the squeeze. Bless Him, Lord, bless Him. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to trust God for something very special right now. Say this with me. Father, You're awesome. You're powerful. And Your mercies cannot even be explained. Help me, God, to accept Your mercies. And help me, God, to walk in Your grace. And help me, God, to be challenged by my future, not chastised by my past. And I thank You for that. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank You for that extra touch, that extra anointing to get me over the bump. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless these people in a very powerful way. Minister mightily like only You can. And Lord, I ask You, God, to touch, Lord, those that are dealing with guilt, those that are dealing with shame, those that are just dealing with pain, pain, pain. Help them feel Your big arms wrap around them right now. In the name of Jesus. Your unlimited mercy and Your unlimited grace. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Ain't God good? All the time. All the time. How y'all doing? Y'all ready to go? Now, I'm going to do something different. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And not to say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask my brother Ron over there to dismiss us in prayer. All right? I want to hear that deep voice. After we say the Lord's Prayer, I want you to dismiss us in prayer. I want to hear that deep, 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 deep. He actually met, J.D. Sumner. This man's got a deep voice. He met J.D. Sumner, and he got J.D. Sumner and started talking to J.D. Sumner like this. And he said, boy, you come back when you grow up. He's about way down there deeper. Amen. All right, here we go. Say the Lord's Prayer, and you're going to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.